The Triple M Grill Team.
Turn Gus, MG and Maddie on 6 till 9 weekdays.
Maddie, 2 days ago, was you, with a lot of Islam-related issues in the news, you went out to La Kemba Mosque.
Yeah, it's an amazing time at the moment. There's no doubt about it. On one side of the world, you've got the horrors of the formation of the Islamic State, and there are repercussions for Australia. We've seen that in Canada. But also, you know, it's very, very difficult at the moment for people of the Islamic community in Australia and in Sydney, because, you know, they feel like that, you know, all of them, mate, they're ashamed. They're horrified by what's happening over there, but they feel like they've been lobbed in with those bad apples. Now, so, you know, I decided, myself and our supermodel, Lam, we decided we went out to La Kemba Mosque and to pay the locals a visit and have a bit of a chat.
Can I ask you, did you worry at all about going out? I know I mentioned it to you when you first thought about going, and did you talk to Trish about it with all the drama that's going on at the moment? Did you feel unsafe thinking about going, let alone going?
No, I didn't feel unsafe, Gus. I suppose, I tell you, and you wonder, you sometimes you think to yourself, do you have deep-seated prejudice? And I always think to myself, no, I don't. But you must have, because I was surprised by the warmth of the welcome
there
I got.
There you go, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I wasn't expecting, you know, any cross words or anything like that, but I was surprised when I got there, they were just really happy, smiley people who welcomed me in.
Great.
And it was great. And now what we're going to do, we're going to hear from a young fellow, Zach, at the moment, and after that, I'll just give some insights into how the day went.
Zach, people oftentimes with the Islamic religion, when we're not familiar with it, we just, you know, say we don't understand the differences in the Islamic religion between Shia and Sunni. So the people who come to this mosque, the Muslims, they're Sunni or Shia?
Well, I mean, yeah, interesting enough, the mosque here was, I mean, a lot of people don't know, but it was built by both Shia and Sunni immigrants, you know, back in the 70s. And, you know, the name chosen for the mosque, Imam Ali Mosque, I mean, that's a figure who's both widely revered by both. So that was one of the reasons why the name was chosen.
Is that unity still here, even through difficult times, what's happening at the moment in Iraq and Syria? Does that cause friction within the Islamic community?
You know, for sure, yeah. I mean, I was talking a couple of weeks back now, I was talking to a Catholic priest who has a lot of work with many of those in the Shia, those are Shia background. And, you know, he was saying, you know, these people are basically under siege from, I guess, you know, ordinary Anglo-Australians, as well as, you know, other Muslims who have very little time for those of a Shia background. So, I mean, some people, well, yeah, copying it from all sides kind of thing.
We interviewed an American a couple of days ago from a Baptist church, the Westboro Baptist Church in America, who was gladly getting on air, who believed that the Ebola virus was given to Africa as punishment against Barack Obama, and they're in organisations that calls for the killing of homosexuals. And they cite parts of the Bible as an example of why they believe it's so. Whether it be the Bible or whether it be the Quran, why do we get such vastly different interpretations of holy books?
You know, whatever your holy book, I mean, at the end of the day, we, you know, people believe their books from God, but then we always have to interpret them from it through a human lens, and that's why you always end up with these differences. I mean, you can look at Christianity with the Crusades, what happened, you know, when the Crusaders, you know, conquered Jerusalem, you know, some of them were reported, you know, in the Chronicles that the horses rode up to their knees in the bloods of the Muslims and the Jews they'd killed. But I mean, no one would associate that with Christianity. No one associates that with the message that, you know, Jesus brought. You know, I think the same is pretty much true of all religions, you know. There are unfortunate historical incidents, and even instances still continuing today.
Well, I mean, in a lot of religions, like the Catholic faith, that there are certain sacrifices if you want to be classed as a good Catholic, but particularly the Islamic faith, in a society like Australia, there is a lot of sacrifice. Do you ever think to yourself, is this worth it?
Well, I guess it's a matter of perspective. You know, for one person, it's a sacrifice. For another person, you know, it's something quite easy and something that you almost enjoy. Most Muslims I know are, you know, pretty happy to be in Australia, more happy than, you know, being in countries where some of their parents might have come from. You know, I know boys who, you know, they enjoy the fact that they can watch footy. If they're back overseas, they wouldn't have that opportunity necessarily. I think we're fortunate to be here.
What is more important for the people here? And I suppose this is a that one a lot of times when people talk about religion. What is more important to you? Is it country or is it religion?
You know, for me, I guess it's not so much about religion. I mean, it's more about God. And I mean, for me, I think people can often become divided by nation or divided by religion. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you could have been born in Central Africa as a strongly believing Christian, or you could be born in Saudi Arabia, you know, someone who believes as equally in their own faith. You know, so for me, you know, I could have easily been born somewhere else. So, you know, I try not to let whatever it is, those kind of things, break us up as humans, to pay to God what's due to him and to deal with other people as you'd like to be dealt with yourself.
The most important question I have to ask you today, and you don't have to answer this, you don't know is that, but what rugby league side do you support?
Nominally, until last year, the Roosters.
Well, in that, mate, I'm deeply offended. Now I'm leaving. Zach, appreciate your time.
No, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, I know we're going to go to another piece in a moment, Matty, yeah. But that's not the accent or the voice that I expected to hear when you went to a mosque. Can you explain what Zach looked like and his background?
Zach's of an Irish-Australian family in the fact that he grew up, his father, he grew up as a Christian, mm-hmm. went to a Catholic school, went to church, and he converted to Islam. His father is still a God-fearing Christian who still goes to church all the time. Wow. Zach sort of, we had a laugh. I asked him about the sacrifices of the Islamic religion, and one of the sacrifices is the fact they pray 7 days a week, you know, go to certain times.
And a few times a day as well.
Where he says his dad brags about he's found the Catholic church service in Sydney, which has got the shortest span that goes for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that's, but you know, he's a really nice boy. He had some really interesting insights. One of the things he said to me there, and the people, very, very nice. He said, what's really interesting? He said, the older Islamic people there who have come to Australia from other countries, he said, have a great appreciation of this country, an amazing appreciation. He said, for instance, there's an old Yemenese man there, and he said he could never imagine living in another country but Yemen until he come to Australia and fully appreciates religious freedom here. And he said, what you've got to understand about some of these other countries, and we don't give ourselves enough credit for in Australia. It's okay if you might be a Sunni Muslim in Yemen. Well, that's okay. That's all good if they're the ruling party at the time. But all of a sudden, if another ruling party comes into those countries, and they might be Shia or they may be Christian, well, you know, those religions are those people are in a lot of trouble. Whereas when you come to Australia, okay, you have religious freedom.
Always.
Whether it be Scientology, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, or whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, go for your life. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for that in Australia.
I know you spoke to some other people there, Matty, who didn't want to appear in the media and have actually been stung before. I know you spoke to some people who have done interviews and then felt that they were stitched up in the editing and things like that by the Australian media. But I know you're going to talk about what they had to say.
Don't be discouraged by all the news going, mate. They are absolutely horrified what's happening in the Middle East at the moment. And they will give you the warmest welcome. And it'll be great for your kids to go along because there's a lot of fear-mongering going on at the moment. And rightfully so. I can understand why people are scared, but, mate, you'll get a warm welcome by these people.
The whole process of you going there sounds like it was kind of liberated you to some degree. You kind of might have, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but everyone has preconceived ideas about what things are like until they actually walk a mile in someone's shoes. Was there any negative feedback from your visit?
No, absolutely none at all, MG. And as I said before, I didn't know what. Put it this way, I didn't think I was going to get a bad reception, but I was just by the warmth of the people.
Yeah, yeah. We drove out the same day, and I said to you as we were parked next to each other in the car, I said, "Yeah, okay." He goes, "Well, I reckon I'll get a few blokes here trying to, you know."
I thought that I'd have some divs out. What are you doing here?
Yeah,
and I was talking to one young lady out there, and she came out to Australia from Lebanon when she was 12 years of age. She had some interesting insights. She didn't want to talk on radio. She said, I'd done one interview before and got burnt by it. So, you know, okay. There's that awareness there. And she said to me, and it really opened my eyes to people who come out here as refugees. She said, when she came out here, she said she remembers going into an Australian school, and she was so happy to get here, you know, compared to what was going on in Lebanon at the time. And of course, they're going through civil war. But she said she had absolutely no idea what was going on. The recess bell went, and she found herself walking around in circles, just not having a clue what was going on. And she said she was desperate to assimilate and to integrate, but she just didn't know how. And I think that's a really important thing, because if you think about this, the seeds of discontent lay in the ability or the inability for people to integrate into a community. Yep. And I'm certainly no lefty, but we have to abandon this attitude of come here, fit in, or piss off.
Mm.
Because if we're good enough, if we think people are worthy to take in, then they're certainly worthy to help integrate a little bit more. She said to me at the time, she said, I was a massive Newcastle Knights fan when I cut to Australia. I said, what's happened? She said, I've just dropped off. I said, no, a lot of people have. But they give you a lot of things to think about. Another fellow who I was chatting to, and he was just talking about, he said, a lot of the countries there are very much to blame for what's happening at the moment. The fighting won't stop it, he said. And what was really interesting was I went and researched after it. And what is amazing is that he said colonization has a part to play in the Middle East and why it's in the state it's in at the moment. And when you have a look at history, at the end of World War One, the Middle East was taken over. The Ottoman Empire was weakened and vulnerable, and they were taken over by the superpowers in the West, which were France and Britain. And when they went in there, they had one of two ideas. One is to make the Middle East one great country itself and have one caliphate that sat in the middle, but they couldn't agree on it. Britain and France, surprise, surprise, couldn't agree on it.
It was a shock.
So what they decided to do was just divide up the countries. The big mistake they made, and I think they realize that now, is they drew borders with no thought to ethnic or religious divides. And they just drew them up, and that there is a part to play in the mess we find ourselves in.
It's how you end up with the situation with Kurds in Iraq being a part of the same country but being very different.
Absolutely. People who for thousands of years were separate and lived in their own, having their own countries, things like that, were divided up and just lumped together. And that's the mess we find ourselves in. And the difficult thing is, how do you break an egg to make an omelette and then say, I don't want an omelette, and put the egg back together again? That's the drama we find ourselves in.
It's the Grill Team on Triple M.
The Grill Team. Gus. MG. And Maddie Johns. Triple M Breakfast.